الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في اخر سوره الجمعه اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اذا نودي للصلاه من يوم الجمعه فاسعوا الى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم ان كنتم تعلمون فاذا قضيت الصلاه فانتشروا في الارض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِندَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين. These are the last three ayat of Surah Al-Jum'ah and the second section of this surah comprises of these three ayat. Apparently it appears that these ayat have no connection, no logical or rational connection with the rest of the surah. But there is a very deep connection, rational, logic connection. First of all, I want to give you that relationship between the main subject of Suratul Jum'ah and this hikmat and ahkam of Jum'ah, the wisdom and the commandments about the Jummah prayers. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, as we have seen in Surah As-Saff, to make the deen of Allah supreme. For that he was given Quran, with which he could change the persons first, individuals first, changing their thinking, changing their morals, changing their attitudes, changing their values, changing their character. So actually with this he could accomplish the mission that was assigned to him of making the deed of Allah supreme. But because he was sent not for the Arabian Peninsula only, not for the Arabs only, but for the whole of humanity, so this mission had to be continued after him also. And after his death, this mission was to be taken over by his ummah to make the deen of Allah supreme over the whole of the globe, whole of the earth. Now for that purpose, to continue the same function that the Prophet was performing in his lifetime, يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِمْ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, a system of adult education was given that every week Muslims should gather, the day of assembly. They should gather in the best of the circumstances. They should celebrate it as their Eid, as their, you know, annual function or weekly function. So, and there, you know, some imam, some naib, and imam actually is the naib of Rasul. The member we call member of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This member belongs to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whosoever stands over it, he is actually doing the same function that the Prophet used to do in his lifetime. This continuous process, يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, that became eternal, so that the revolutionary ideology that should remain fresh in the minds of the Muslims, their aims and objects should remain on their conscious level of their brains and thinking. They should know that they have to live for Allah and die for Allah. And their goal in life is to make the deen of Allah supreme. For this purpose, this is a system of adult education. And for that, every week Muslims are required to gather together, and then they should be reminded, and be renewed, you know, their zeal should be renewed, their ideology should be reminded, so that they have in their minds, and they have before them the goal that which they have to accomplish, and that is to make the deen of Allah supreme. So this is actually a very grand system of adult education that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, not only to this ummah, but also to the ummah before. But please, let me give you first of all a background. As we know, this deen is a continuation of the deen from Hazrat Adam till Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deen has been one. There's no difference of a jot in deen. The difference is in law, in the detailed commandments. Deen has been the same. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ مُوسَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. O Muslims, it has been ordained for you also. What we advised to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and what we have made mandatory on you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what was our advice and our demand from Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, to establish the deen of Allah, an aqimu deen wa la tatafarraqu fi. So this deen has been the same. Although the detailed laws, there have been changes. There has always been a system of prayers, but they have different shapes. A system of fasting. As you know, there have been changes have been made in the fasting of the former Muslim Ummah and this fasting of the present Muslim Ummah. Their fast started just when they slept, the fast start. No sahri, no taking of any meals or anything before dawn. No going to their wives, no intercourse during the night even. It was prohibited. And that is why the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, also thought that in our Sharia also, perhaps these things are not permissible. And then the ayah was revealed that no, your psalm is different in these matters. That you can have sexual intercourse with your wife during the night. The psalm of Muslim Sharia is for the day. From the dawn till the sun setting. And there, and that is the period. And because this deen has been made easy for this ummah. In many respects. Why? Because it had to spread very far and wide, to the east, to the west. Different climates, different habitats, these had to come into the folds of this ummah. And for that, the rituals in our deen, in this Sharia of Islam, Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the amount of rituals has been decreased. The amount of wisdom has been increased. And that is the compensation. When the wisdom is less, you have to work harder. When you have the wisdom, then a lesser amount of work will also give the required results. So that we see in this respect also. Now the background is that in all the Sharias, it was given that out of the 7 days of every week, one day should be reserved for ibadah, for worship, for reading the book, learning the deen. You work for 6 days, but for the 7th day, you keep in reserve the whole day. It should be reserved for the learning of your deen, for remembering of Allah. You make zikr, you read the book, the scripture, the book that has been given to you. So 6 days for work, and 1 day for, not for rest. That was actually some wrong addition which was made in Torah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world, this universe in 6 days, and on the 7th day He rested. There was no rest required for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we find in Surah Qaf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِن لُّغُوبٍ. Verily we created all the heavens and earth in 6 days, but we didn't get tired. There was no tire. We were not tired by that. We didn't need any rest.
It was actually not for rest. The seventh day of the week was for worshipping Allah. Reserve it wholly, solely for remembrance of Allah, for making zikr of Allah, for reading the book of Allah. And you know, then you can discuss these things with you, but nothing earning, no worldly act. This was the day of Jummah. From the beginning it was Jummah, given to every ummah. It was actually a deviation of the Jews that they left Jummah, adopted Sabbath, Saturday. And then the Christians, they went one day further and they fixed it for Sunday. Actually it was Jummah. Let me quote you a hadith. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he relates from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, the Prophet Rasul said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ. The best day of all the days of the week on which sun shines is the day of Jum'ah, day of Friday. فِيهَ خُلِقَ آدَمُ. In that day Adam was created. وَفِيهَ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. In that very day he was made to enter Jannah, paradise. وَفِيهِ أُخْرَجَ مِنْهَا. And on Friday, he was taken out from there so that to take the charge of this world, this earth, and to be a caliph of Allah for this world. So actually, this day has been a sacred day from the very beginning. That is why in Surah An-Nahl, in Ayah 124, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. This Sabbath for the Jews, that was fixed for as a punishment for them, because they themselves selected it. They left Jummah, the glory of Jummah, they deprived themselves of this Jummah, and then when they themselves adopted Saturday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also fixed that day for them, that if you like not the best day, and you want another day, so we fix this day for you. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. Now this Sabbath, Sabbat as they call today. This is Yawm al-Sabt in Arabic. And Sabbat as the Jews call it. For them, in their Sharia, total day, they can't do any work. No earning, no bargaining, no tijara, whatsoever. And the practicing Yahud today, even today, they are very strict. They don't even receive calls, telephone calls. Just they put their telephones off. No business whatsoever, nothing of this sort. Those who practice their Sharia, they are very strict in Sabbath. So that was actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed that day, and the whole day they had to do only ibadah, only worship, only zikr, only remembrance of Allah, only study of the scripture, only study of the book, and nothing else. But for the Muslim Ummah, now first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverted with that position was given to Yawm al-Jum'ah, which was the original. Now because the deen, it has been renewed and it has been made complete on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the mistake that the Jews committed has been rectified, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to the real day, which is the most sacred day of the 7 days of the week, and we have been given again and guided towards Jum'ah. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very lenient for us. Very lenient. That you can do business, you can go to work, if you like. Although I will tell you, the hadith I will quote, that it is desirable that you spend most of the time of Jummah for the same purpose of remembering Allah. Or you should devote this day for teaching and learning of your deen, for making ibadah. And you should try as much as you can, that the whole day should be reserved for the same purpose which was in the beginning. But because I told you, because this ummah was to spread over a very wide range of this globe, different climates, different habitats, different nations having different backgrounds, social background, so actually this ritual part of the deen has been reduced to a great extent. Now that time has been reduced to, so to say, about maximum half an hour or 1 hour. When the call is given for the prayer of Jummah, on the day of Jummah,
Now all business is haram. Leave every business. No business can be done till the salah has been done and it has been completed. Now this, you may say, it is 1 hour at the most. So with that order has become very easy for the Muslims. But there is the indication that it is desirable that you spend as much time of this day for the same purpose of learning Deen, remembering Allah, studying the book, studying Quran, studying Hadith, studying Seerah, reserve it for that. Now please, we should study, we should begin this word by word. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jumu'ah, fas'au ila zikrillahi wa dharul bay'. O you who profess to believe, and let me change these wordings to, O Muslims, I have told you that these words, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, they address Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina aslamu is never used in the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, but what it actually means, O Muslims who profess to be mu'min, who profess that they believe in Allah and hereafter, and the book and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha nudiya lis-salah, when call is given for the prayer, min yawmil jum'ah, on the day of Jum'ah. Now which prayer? We know that call is given, azan is given for Fajr also. Azan is given in prayer and call goes for Asr also, for Maghrib also. There are 5 prayers a day for the Muslims. But here actually this Jum'ah, which is in place of Zuhr. Jum'ah is at the same time at what time this Zuhr is prayed. So that is particularly mentioned here. إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The literal meaning would be, run towards the zikr of Allah. But because the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited us, when you are going for salah, don't run. Walk with dignity. First of all, Muslim and Mu'min should be dignified. Running is not a dignified act. Secondly, if somebody is running, you know, in a mosque, there is a voice, there is a sound, and people who are already there praying, they are disturbed. Their attention, you know, is diverted. So there are 2 wisdoms behind it. That don't run. If 1 rak'ah you are losing, no harm. You can complete the rak'ah after this congregation has been finished. But you know, don't run. Therefore, we translate it. So now you turn towards the salah with the total attention. Leave all business. Bazarul bayr. And leave business, leave trading, everything, you have to leave it. Zaru is imperative verb. And I told you, imperative verb means wujub. Farz, lazim. It is now your duty. It's now mandatory for you. It is now essential for you to leave all business, all trading, all worldly affairs, and wholeheartedly you now turn towards the salah. Also note the word zikrillah. فَسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Zikr Allah is actually 2 things. First of all, salah itself is zikr. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Establish zakah, establish salah for my remembrance. So this is a very comprehensive way of remembering Allah. So zikr, but here this zikr means specially the khutbah. Because what makes Jummah is the khutbah. We have 4 rakat in Zuhr. They are reduced to 2 in Jummah. And in place of 2 rakat, 2 khutbahs have been added. And that is why this seems to be the wisdom. Why the Prophet ﷺ used to have 2 khutbahs. Although he never gave or delivered very lengthy khutbahs. We know it. That his practice was very precise and very brief khutbah he used to deliver. And he used to sit in between. Not because he felt tired, but because, as far as I think, because one should understand that these 2 khutbahs are in place of 2 rakat of Zuhr. Zuhr has 4 rakat, and here in Jummah you have 2 rakat. So actually, in place of the 2 rakat, you have 2 khutbahs. I'll give you the hadith also, what the Prophet ﷺ used to do on the Jummah, about the khutbah. This is from
امام مسلم رحمہ اللہ, اینڈ ہی نریٹس اٹ فرام حضرت جابر ابن سمرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ قال کانت للنبی خطبتان یجلس بینہما. The Prophet used to have two sermons, two khutbas, and he used to sit for a while in between the two, just as we do today. يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيُذَكِّرُ النَّاسِ. What did he do in the khutbah? He recited Quran and used to remind people of Quran, of Iman, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُذَكِّرُ النَّاسِ. So this is the main function. That is why here is the word is zikr. فَسْعَوْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَوُ الْبَعِ. Now with all your attention, you should be towards salah and leave all business, everything. Now because in our time we have two azans, the question is, from which azan this business becomes haram? Doing any worldly business becomes impermissible, forbidden. After which azan? In the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was only one azan, not two. The second azan was added in the times of the caliphate of Hazrat Uthman رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ. When Medina became a bigger city, one azan couldn't do. Because if people listen to the azan and then they started going to the mosque, it required some time to warn them that now the time of Jummah is coming. The first azan was added. And after the second azan, then the khutbah started. So because in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was only one azan. And that azan is just before the khutbah. So this hurma, this forbiddenness of all business, worldly business, is from the second azan to be sure. But we can guess that from the very first azan also, it should become makruh, it should become undesirable, if not absolute haram. يا ايها الذين امنوا اذا نودي للصلاه من يوم الجمعه فاسعوا الى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم ان كنتم تعلمون. This is good for you only if you have the real knowledge. Now just imagine, maybe there's a shopkeeper and he was sitting idle from the morning. No customer came to him, and no sooner than a customer enters his shop, the azan also is given. Now he is put to a very hard test, whether to attend to the customer or to respond to the azan, to the call of prayer. And here it is, zarur bai, leave it here and then, there. Don't do any business. But Allah says, you might be thinking that you have lost something, but actually if you have the real knowledge, this is good for you. You should sacrifice this apparent, the gain which was coming to you, and you should listen to the call of azan and proceed straight off for the salah and refuse to do any business after this azan has been given. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now about this importance and the wujub, imperativeness of Jummah, let me give you three ahadith. Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah, he reports from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله تعالى عنهما. الجمعہ تو علی من سمع النداء. Jummah is mandatory for every Muslim who listens the azan. If he has listened, he must respond. People who live in that vicinity of the mosque, that the azan has reached their ears, now it becomes mandatory for them to respond and go to Jummah. The second hadith is from Abu Dawood rahimahullah. الجمعہ تو حق واجب على كل مسلم في جماعت. The Jummah prayer is farz, it is mandatory, it is essential for every Muslim, and this can be offered only in congregation. You can't offer Jummah prayer separately. If you due to some reason couldn't join the Jummah congregation, now you will be praying Zuhur. Jummah you are deprived of, that has gone. So in Jama'ah, this prayer can only be offered in congregation. Al-Jum'ah to haqqul wajibun ala kulli muslimin fi jama'atin illa ala arba'in. Only four are exempted. It is not
فرض آن فور. ہو آر دے فور؟ عبد مملوک ان سلیو. بیکاز اے سلیو ڈزنٹ ہیو دی اتارٹی آف ہز اون. ہی از اونڈ بائی ہز ماسٹر. ہز ٹائم از اونڈ بائی ہز ماسٹر. سو ہز ماسٹر الاؤز ہم اونلی دین ہی کین گو. سو فار ہم اٹ از ناٹ واجب, اٹ از ناٹ فرض. او امرأت اینڈ ویمن, آن دیم اٹ از ناٹ فرض. اف دے جوائن اوکے, بٹ اف دے ڈونٹ دیر نتھنگ, دے ہیو نو ناٹ کمیٹڈ اینی سن. اٹ از ناٹ واجب, اٹ از ناٹ فرض. او صبی اور چلڈرن, چلڈرن آن دیم اٹ از ناٹ فرض. او مریض اینڈ فورتھلی ہوز سو ایور از ایل اینڈ سیک, ہی آلسو ہی از ایبسالوڈ آف دس ریسپانسبلٹی. تھرڈ حدیث, الجمعہ تو علی من آواہ اللیل الی اہلہ. جمعہ از فرض اینڈ مینڈیٹری فار ایوری پرسن ہو کین ریچ بیک ٹو ہز فیملی بفور نائٹ, بیکاز دس جمعہ کانگریگیشن واز ناٹ آفرڈ اینڈ ناٹ ہیلڈ ان آل دی ولیجز. دیر آر اے فیو ہاؤسز سم ویئر, بٹ دے کانٹ ہولڈ اے جمعہ پریئر دیئر. They must go to some place where Jummah is being held. But you know what should be distance? If a person can start in the morning, the distance is such that he starts in the morning, he offers his Jummah prayer, and then he can return to his family before the night falls, then his Jummah is essential for him. He must go and offer the Jummah with congregation. Al-Jum'atu ala man awahu al-laylu ila ahlihi. Now these are the three positive ahadith. Now there are some ahadith of warning also. This is from Sunan Abi Dawood and Sunan Nisa'i rahimahumullah. Man taraka salasa juma'in tahawunan biha tama'a Allahu ala qalbihi. Whosoever leaves and doesn't pray three juma'as consecutively only due to taking it lightly, if there is some hindrance, if he is ill, if he is sick, if he is musafir, he is traveling, that's something else. But only because he is not taking it seriously, tahawunan, taba Allahu ala qalbih, Allah will put a seal on his heart. And this punishment is the worst punishment that can be given to any human being in this world. Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim and taba Allahu ala qulubihim, to the worst of the kuffar, this punishment is given. And here the Prophet is saying, مَنْ تَرَكَ سَلَاسَ جُمَعِنْ تَحَاوُنًا بِهَا تَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. And this hadith has been reported by Imam Tirmidhi also, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْجُمْعَةَ سَلَاسَ بَرَّاتٍ تَحَاوُنًا بِهَا تَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. The same thing. Three consecutive Jum'as, if somebody has not gone to pray and join the congregation, then and without any reason, without any hindrance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a seal on his heart. And Imam Muslim reports from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله تعالى عنه عنهما و أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه إنهما سمع النبي, both of them, حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As رضي الله تعالى عنهما, both of them listened, heard from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying on his minbar, the Prophet said from his minbar, لَيَنْتَهَيَنَّ الْأَقْوَامُ عَنْ وَدِعْمُ الْجُمْعَاتِ أَوْ لَيَخْتِمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ ثُمَّ لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. People should refrain from not joining the Jummah congregation, or otherwise Allah Ta'ala will surely put a seal on their heart, and then they will become from ghafils, ignorant people. Allah will turn their hearts away from Him. So that is the punishment that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will give. And a still stronger hadith, stronger warning comes here. And this is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Muslim has reported it. أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَخَلَّفُونَ عَنِ الْجُمْعَةِ, that the Prophet said about people who remain behind and don't join the Jummah congregation, لَقَدْ هَمَمْتُ أَنْ آمُرَ رَجُلًا يُسَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ. I very much desire, and I have a feeling within my heart, that I should appoint anybody else in my place as imam. He should lead the prayer. ثُمَّ أُحَرِّقَ عَلَىٰ رِجَالٍ يَتَخَلَّفُونَ عَلِ الْجُمْعَةِ بُيُوتَهُمْ, and I should go and burn the houses of those people who are not attending the Jummah prayer. This is the stringest and the strongest warning that the Prophet could give. Hardest. La hamamto, laqad hamamto. This idea has been coming to my mind. I've been feeling like doing this. An amura rajulan, that I should command anybody else to pray, to lead the prayer in my place. Yusalli binna summa uharrika. And then I should go and burn the houses, and along with their houses, the people. يَتَخَلَّفُونَ عَنِ الْجُمْعَةِ بُيُوتَهُمْ. I should burn their houses and those people who are sitting in their houses, and they are abstaining from Jummah and not joining the Jummah congregation. Now this is the importance of Jummah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now I narrate to you another hadith. And this hadith tells you that actually what is desirable is that most of the time, at least the first half of the day, from the morning, from the dawn, to the Jummah prayer, should be reserved for ibadah, reserved for remembrance of Allah, reserved for the study of the book, the citation of the book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, although it has not been made mandatory. Mandatory is only that period when the call has been given, till the time that the salah has been fulfilled and completed. During this period, it is mandatory. You can do no business, nothing earning, no trading, nothing of the sort. Just as the Jews do for the whole day of their Sabbath. That time has been reduced for the Summa. But still it is desirable that most of the, at least morning time, should be reserved for the same purposes. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, accepted by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim as authentic. An Abi Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, man iqtasala yawm al-jum'ah ghusl al-janabati. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who Muslim, whosoever Muslim, he takes a bath on the day of Jummah, just as the bath which one has to take if he had gone to his wife and now he had to purify his body, that type of bath should be taken, not lightly. Full ghusl janaba, that should be the ghusl, that should be the bath of the day of Friday. Summa raha fi saati ula. Then he went to the mosque in the first hour of that morning. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّوَ بُدْلَةً. He will be like a person who sacrifices a full camel for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward will be equal to the reward of sacrificing a camel for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have gone to the mosque in the first hour of that morning. وَمَنْ رَاهَ فِي سَعَةِ السَّانِيَةِ. And who went in the second hour? فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّبَ بَقْرَةً. His reward will be as if he has sacrificed a cow for the pleasure of Allah. وَمَنْ رَاهَ فِي سَعَةِ السَّالِسَةِ. And whosoever goes in the third hour, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّبَ كَبْشًا أَقْرَنَا. And whosoever is going in the third hour, he is as if he has sacrificed a goat or a sheep for the cause of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. وَمَنْ رَاهَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الرَّابِعَةِ. And who went in the fourth hour, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَبَ دُجَاجَةً. It is as if he has given a hen to somebody else, صَدَقَةً, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A chicken. وَمَنْ رَاهَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الْخَامِسَةِ. Whosoever went in the fifth hour, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَبَ بَيْضَةً. It is as if he has given in charity one egg of the hen. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِمَامِ. And when the imam comes out, he is going towards the mosque, towards the member, to address the congregation, to deliver the khutbah. حَضْرَةِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الزِّكْرِ. Now the angels who were sitting on the gates of the mosque, and they were recording the attendance of the people who are coming to join this Jummah congregation, they close their books, and then they also, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الزِّكْرِ, they also listen to the khutbah, to the zikr that the imam is doing there. Now this hadith actually tells us, number one, that it is desirable that the whole time at least, from the morning till the midday, till the time of Jummah, should be reserved. But it is persuasion. It's not mandatory. Persuasion is there. If you go in the first hour, as if you have sacrificed a full camel for the cause of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. Second hour, as if you have sacrificed a goat, a cow. Third hour, as if you have sacrificed a goat. Fourth, as if you have given in charity or sacrificed a chicken or a hen. And fifth, as if you have given in charity some egg to somebody. But you know, when Imam starts his khutbah, kharaja Imam, not even starts his khutbah. When he comes out, he is going towards the minbar to address the congregation. Then Hazrat al-Malaikat yastami'un. Then all these malaika who were noting the attendance of these people who are attending this Jummah, then they also close their books. In another hadith this has been given in clear words. They close their registers. Now the attendance is not there. Although the farz will be accomplished, but fazila, the superiority of Jummah, that we have lost altogether. If you have joined the congregation when the khutbah had already started. So before the khutbah, you should go, you should pray 2 rakah, then sit and wait for the khutbah. So that is actually the way one should do this khutbah. Now what is the importance of khutbah? Again here also I want to give you a hadith. And Imam Tirmidhi and Imam Nasai, rahimahumullah, they have reported it from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. إِذَا قُلْتَ لِصَاحِبِكَ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ وَالْإِمَامُ يَخْطُبُ أَنْسِتْ فَقَدْ نَغَوْتْ. If on the day of Jummah, the Imam, the leader, he is delivering his sermon, and you say to your brother or friend, keep quiet. You have also done a wrong work. You must keep quiet absolutely. The Sahaba used only to have some, you know, to remind somebody if he was talking, but not speaking themselves. To throw some pebble, so that there should be no voice. All the people should have focused their full attention towards the sermon, towards the khutbah. And as I told you, actually this is the khutbah which has given this Jummah prayer its all importance. Otherwise we have 4 rakah in Salatul Zuhr. In place of the 2 rakat of Salatul Zuhr, these 2 khutbahs have been added. And what is actually the wisdom behind that I have already told. This process should continue. This Suratul Mubarakah, you know, it starts in the beginning. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. This function of the Prophet ﷺ has been made permanent, eternal, in the form of this Jummah sermon. Every Friday people should take a bath. They should have good clothing. The Prophet in another hadith said to some people that whosoever among you can afford it, he should keep a separate pair of clothing for the day of Jummah. Because if you are working, if you are, you know, a carpenter, if you are some laborer, and your clothing will be maybe dirty, maybe there is, you know, the smell of sweating coming from your clothes, so change your clothes. Have a bath so that the congregation, you know, that is in a very sound condition. And in that sound condition, healthy atmosphere, whatever Imam says, it should go directly to the hearts of the people who are standing there, who are sitting there, listening to the khutbah. Because this is the function of the Prophet, which has been eternalized, made eternal in this sermon. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And I have given you the hadith. What did the Prophet do in his khutbah? يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيُذَكِّرُ النَّاسَ. The same teaching of Quran, the same understanding of Quran, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Because this ummah is to continue the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Till that time, that whole of the globe that brightens up, lights up with the noor of Allah, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, that day has to come.
and that Allah's deen should become supreme over the whole of the globe. So this ummah has been charged with this mission and they have to continue it. Now please let us complete the text. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And when the prayer has been completed, فَانْتَشِرُوا, now you can disperse. Here, although فَانْتَشِرُوا is also an imperative verb, but it is agreed upon by all, and it is not farz. If you want to keep sitting in the mosque, continue your zikr, continue your study of the book, study of Quran, and if there is some sermon going on, then you should, you can stay there. It's not binding that you must go and disperse. But if you like, you can disperse. You may disperse. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, in the earth, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. And now, you should try to earn the fadl of Allah. These two things are very important here. First of all, fadl. Whatever a man gets in this world, although he has worked for it, he is running a shop, he is working somewhere in some office, in some factory, he is tilling the land, but whatever he gets, he should think it is fadl of Allah, bounty of Allah, not the result of his labor. Because these two words come opposed to each other. Ajr and ujra. Ajr and ujra is the reward of your labor. And it will be measured. Whatever work you have done, corresponding would be the ujra or the ajr. But fadl, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Bighair hisab. His fadl, you know, he can bestow his fadl to whomsoever he likes, bighair hisab. There is not going to be any, you know, measurement. So this is fadl. We should think that whatever I am getting, it is the fadl of Allah. Not the result of my work, my labor, my earning, my intelligence, my understanding, my planning, my hard work. Nothing of the sort. Although you have to work, although you have to till the land, although you have to sit in the shop, although you have to work in the factory, although you have to work in some mill or workshop, but actually whatever you are getting, it is fadl of Allah. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Go and search for the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do it if you like. But if you don't, if you want to spend the whole day, it is actually permissible. It was the practice, I remember, in Delhi, before partition, I had been going visiting there, that the khutbah used to be only in Arabic. And it started at the exact time. Then the sermon started after Juma prayer and it continued till the Asr prayer. That was the practice there. And I think it's the best way. Because you know this Arabic khutbah, which is the Masnoon khutbah, for that everybody reaches, try to reach in time. So that can start at once. Otherwise, if you have a sermon, and sermon is required, why? Because those nations, those countries, whose language is not Arabic. Now this khutbah is to remind them for their education. As I told you in the beginning, it's a form of adult education. Now this khutbah is not serving the purpose of education. They are listening to the khutbah, they don't know what the khatib is saying. So that is why in those countries whose language is not Arabic, additional sermon was added. But this sermon mostly, that is before the real khutbah, the Arabic Masnoon khutbah. And it used to be in Delhi, at least before partition, I can say, that sermon used to be after the prayer of Jummah till the prayer of Asr. And that was the sermon. To do, you know, what the khutbah should have done. Had the people understood the Arabic language, the khutbah would have been sufficient. But because it is not doing it, so additional sermons are added. And that was the practice in Delhi. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. But you should remember Allah very much so that you attain to falah, so that you can gain success, salvation, falah. And we have discussed this word falah in much detail when we were discussing the ayat from the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So this falah you will have only with zikr-e-kaseer. What is the zikr-e-kaseer? Now this salah was also for zikr. Aqim-i-salata li-zikri.
قرآن از سچ ذکر انا نحن نزلنا ذکر و انا له لحافظون. واٹ از ذکر کثیر؟ ذکر کثیر از ایٹ آل ٹائم اللہ شوڈ ریمین ان یور مائنڈ. یو مائٹ بی ڈوئنگ اینی تھنگ, یو کین ڈو اٹ. یو آر گوئنگ ان دی بس, یو آر گوئنگ ان دی کار, بٹ یو آر ریسائٹنگ قرآن. ریمبر اٹ, ریسائٹ. If you are not, if you have not memorized it, you can have a cassette of the of Qiraat and go listening to it. So actually that is Zikr-e Kaseer. Then it, additionally, we have the supplications, the prayers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With every daily routine work that every human being does, there is a masnoon dua. There is a supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No sooner than your eyes open in the morning, you have to say a prayer. الحمد للہ الذی احیانی بعدما اماتنی والیہ النشور. Now you have stood up, you have entered your bathroom. In entering the bathroom you have to do a dua. You come out of the bathroom and hear a dua. الحمد للہ الذی اذهب عنی العذاب وعافانی. Now you have started making wudu. Before starting making wudu you are again making a dua. And with every act of wudu there is dua. Then you go to the mosque. When you come out from your house, there's a dua. When you enter the mosque, there's a dua. That is all time when you are sitting in the mosque, you are actually in zikr. Then you come out of the mosque, there's a dua. When you are changing your clothes, there's a dua. When you see the mirror, there's a dua. All masnoon from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when you are going to make a sexual intercourse with your wife, there's a dua. No act of human being without dua. This is Zikr-e Kaseer. This is the biggest and most effective form of Zikr-e Kaseer. So actually every time. Now you are working, you are doing the work. But your hands are busy in your work, your feet are busy in your work when you are walking, your hands are busy when you are doing something, but you have to keep Allah. Your tongue should be having the Zikr of Allah, and your head and your heart should be, you know, they are lightened with the Zikr of Allah, and this is Zikr-e Kaseer. وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And you should remember Allah very much so that you attain to falah, you can get the falah. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. This last ayah of this surah is refers to an incident that once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was saying the sermon, delivering the khutbah of the Jummah, and you know there came, you know, the sound of ringing of bells. Because the caravans, when they used to come, in the necks of the camels there were the bells. So the ringing of the bells started and people understood that some caravan has come. There was shortage of wheat in the market of Medina. Scarcity of wheat. And people thought, and they thought correctly, that the caravan has come from Syria with the wheat. So people thought that if we delay our going there, maybe other people, they go and they purchase and we don't get any amount. So many of the people left the prayer, the mosque, while the Prophet was still delivering his sermon. And the people went off. Now this is the criticism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over this incident. First please translate the ayah, then I'll say something about it. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا. And when they saw some bargain, some tijara, some trade, أَوْ لَهْوًا, or some gain, something of interest, انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا, they ran to it. They went towards that, towards the bargain, trading, purchasing of wheat or something of interest. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. And they left you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, standing. You were standing still, delivering your khutbah. And people left the mosque. How come? How could it happen? These people didn't understand. What's the importance of khutbah? قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is with Allah, the reward that is with Allah, that Allah will give you of your good deeds, is much better than all these things of interest and all the tijara and all the trading of this world. Only if you know, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, And you should have the faith and the belief and the iman and yaqeen that Allah is the best provider. He is the raziq. Why did you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not provide you? If you know this caravan, the wheat that it had brought, if it is finished, people have taken it away, you will remain without wheat. You don't have confidence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His providence. You don't have confidence that He will feed you. Wallahu khairu raziqeen. Now, what is the explanation? One explanation is that perhaps till that time the Sahaba Ikram didn't understand the importance of khutbah, the importance of namaz, importance of prayer. Salah in itself was evident. But perhaps it may be that they didn't understand till that time that the most essential thing about the Jummah congregation is this khutbah. It has given the all importance to this Jummah congregation, because this is the main purpose of this congregation. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. So this is one explanation. Another explanation which I found is that at that time, till that time, the khutbah of Jummah was also after the prayer. Just as we have to this date, the khutbah of Eidain, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Azha, is not before the prayer, it's after the prayer. Prayer is offered first and then khutbah. So actually, the prayer had been completed and prayer had been offered, now it was khutbah. So some people thought that it is not very important, we have already prayed. The prayer is over, so we can leave. So this is the second explanation. And the third is that they were actually the munafiqeen. Because immediately after this surah in the Quran is coming Suratul Munafiqun. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And there is a very beautiful correlationship. In فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا, they left you standing and delivering the khutbah and they went away. And إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, and when the munafiq come to you and they say that we testify that you are the messenger of Allah, and Allah very well knows, who can know more than Allah that you are His messenger? But Allah testifies that these munafiqeen, they are telling a lie when they say that you are the messenger of Allah. They don't believe from the bottoms of their hearts that you are the messenger of Allah. So this relationship between the last ayah of Surah Al-Jumu'ah and the first ayah of Surah Al-Munafiqun, when these two surahs, you know, they are there joined together in the Mus'haf. So this also supports this third view that these were the munafiqeen who left Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing and delivering his khutbah, and they went out to the bargain or to the trade or to purchase the wheat from the caravan which had just arrived. Now the last thing, and that might be shocking for some of you, that is, Jummah actually is meant only for an Islamic state. What we are offering as Jummah, strictly speaking, from the point of view of fiqh, it's not Jummah. Jummah is only an Islamic state. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't offer Jummah in Makkah, although the five obligatory prayers had started. And in Baitul Arqam, Muhammad Rasulullah and his companions used to pray in congregation. But Jummah only in Medina. And let me quote here, that is why during the British Raj, British rule in India, there was a big controversy whether we can hold Jummah congregation here or not in India, because now it is not Darul Islam. It is Darul Kufr, it is Darul Harb, because we are being ruled by the Britishers, non-Muslims. That is why four rakat were added, and that was called Ihtiyatul Zuhr. That if you are holding Jummah congregation and you are saying Jummah prayer, you say four rakat of Zuhr also. Because if that view is correct, that the Jummah here is not permissible, then actually you have lost your Jummah also and Zuhr also. Jummah, because Jummah is not permissible here, and Zuhr you have not prayed. So to make up and compensate for that, it was advised to the Muslims to offer another four rakat ihtiyatul zuhr
because actually in Islamic society, Islamic state, Juma, and secondly, Juma is to be controlled by the Islamic state. There is a hadith that only the Amir or the Mamur, he should deliver the sermon. That is why there was a controversy in India, and there is controversy in many other countries also, whether Juma can be offered and held in villages or not. There should be some town where some important government official is present, and he is to lead the prayer. The Amirul Mu'mineen used to lead the prayer in Medina. The governors used to lead the Juma prayer in, you know, every capital of the province. Then in smaller divisions, there is a district or the sort of that, the deputy commissioner, who is there, the chief person, you know, administrative authority, holding the administrative authority, he should lead the prayer. This was when, you know, Islam was one. Religion and state was not two things. But later on they separated. And today what is the condition? Now this has become more or less a ritual. But this ritual is very important, still important. Because it is like a weekly meeting of the Hezbollah, of the Islamic Revolutionary Party. They join together, they gather in a mosque, and then actually the function should be, the basic purpose should be the teaching of Quran. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. But I have referred to this, you know, the jurisprudence, the issue of jurisprudence of Islam, that actual Juma, real Juma, we can say it is simple Juma. It is something similar to Juma which we are offering. But the real Juma will only be an Islamic state where the persons who are holding office, who are holding authority, offices of authority, they will be leading the Juma prayers. Otherwise, you know, Allama Iqbal has said beautifully, قوم کیا چیز ہے قوموں کی امامت کیا ہے اس کو کیا سمجھیں یہ بیچارے دو رکعت کے امام. We have imams of two rakat. And mostly, you know, especially in our countries, there's no respect for these imams. These people are thought to be, you know, they are servants. They are being paid. They are actually the heads who are governing or who are managing that mosque. They have the say in the affairs. The imam, the poor person, he doesn't have any say in the administration of the mosque. So actually, this is not the condition, ideal condition. But still, it is beneficial. At least we are gathering, at least we are listening to sermon. Some of the knowledge of Islam comes to us. It should continue. But please note it, that all these things are not to the full reality of Islam till that date that we establish an Islamic state. And the real caliph, he leads the Islam, the prayer of congregation of Juma, and he delivers the khutbah. You can well imagine the khutbah that the head of the state would be offering and delivering. The khutbah that the governor in some province will be delivering. That would be sort of a policy statement of that government. That would become the press conference for that government. That is actually the basis, because there the state and religion become one. This dualism and duality disappears. So this is actually, I wanted to bring to your notice, the controversies also which were there, but essentially, as I told you, these things will have their real meaning when Islamic State has been established. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage to establish that real Islamic State, and then these all things will come in the real background and perspective. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.